shot and killed. The drug dealer ran away. Nobody knew what happened. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. It was dark in the parking lot. And nobody knew who did what. All they knew that there was a black male in the parking lot that was attacking a homeless man. And they said the same man that attacked the homeless man was the person that shot and killed the police officer. Well, the next day, almost 2 days later, drug dealer showed up at the police department with one of the most highest paid lawyers in Savannah, asked for immunity, and he said a boy named Troy did. And then they subsequently came and terrorized every black male in that city for nearly 48 hours. Because see, they didn't know that Troy had already gone back home to work. He was only home for the weekend. When my brother found out what was going on, he chose to come back to Savannah. And he said, I'm going to go to the police department, answer their questions. And he said, I'll be released because of some mistake. To this day, almost 20 years later, my brother has never been interrogated by the police about this crime. To this day. There were 9 eyewitnesses used to testify against my brother. A 16-year-old was taken from his home by 15 or 20 police officers, interrogated for 7 or 8 hours with no lawyer, no parents. He said, I got so tired of telling me that Troy did it and they were going to charge me with suspicion of murder that I stopped repeating what they wanted to say so that I could leave. One young man couldn't read and write, and he would terrorize him, and he signed a statement against Troy, and he couldn't even read his statement. Another person was across the street in a hotel upstairs across a 4-lane highway, and they got her to say that she saw my brother shoot the police officer with a smirky smile on his face. Well, 2 years later, Savannah News Press crucified my brother. We have one newspaper in the city, and they crucified my brother in the paper. They called him cop killer, executioner. They wanted to see anything but the death penalty. My family was not allowed in the courtroom to support my brother. They put our names on the witness list so that we could be sequestered, even though we knew nothing about the case. And that's what they do in the South. They put family members on the witness list, and we had to sit outside on a stone bench and have people go in and tell us what happened. The only time my family was allowed to go and support my brother was to beg for his life when they gave him death sentence. And everything we said good about him, they said wasn't true. Well, from 1991, when my brother was convicted, to 1996, my brother had no attorney. Because in Georgia, they don't allow death row inmates. They don't provide lawyers for post-conviction appeals. So from 1991 to 1996, the most critical part of my brother's habeas hearings, he had no attorney. And from 1993 to 2003, the witnesses began one after one after one recanting. My brother's case If you don't die immediately, how the doctor's gonna come in, listen to your saved my life and to prove to the world that I am innocent of this terrible crime. As I look at my mail across the globe from places I have never, ever dreamed I would know about, and people speaking languages and expressing cultures and religions I can only hope to one day see firsthand, I am humbled by the emotion that fills my heart with overwhelming, overflowing joy. I can't even explain the surge of emotion I feel when I try to express the strength I draw from all of you. It compounds my faith and it shows me yet again that this is not a case about the death penalty. This is not a case about Troy Davis. This is a case about justice, and the human spirit to see justice prevail. I cannot answer all of your letters, but I do read them all. I cannot see you all, but I can imagine your faces. I cannot hear you speak, but your letters take me to the far reaches of the world. I cannot touch you physically, but I feel your warmth every day I exist. So thank you, and remember, I am in a place where execution can only destroy your physical form. But because of my faith in God, my family, and all of you, I have been spiritually free for some time. And no matter what happens in the days or weeks to come, this movement to end the death penalty and to seek true justice to expose a system that fails to protect the innocent must be accelerated. There are so many more Troy Davises. This fight to end the death penalty is not won or lost for me, but through our strength to move forward and save every innocent person in captivity around the globe. I want you to know that the trauma placed on me and my family as I have now faced execution in the death chamber three times is more punishment than most can bear. Yet as I face the state-sanctioned terror, I realize one constant. My faith is unwavering, the love of my family and friends is massive, and the fight for justice and against injustice by activists worldwide has ignited a fire that is raging for human rights and human dignity. You inspire me, you honor me, and I pray for strength and guidance for my family and loved ones, and for the victims' family and loved ones. I share with you